guys, it's Jen.
It is Carrie.
And we are back again. We did the Johnny Depp birthday episode last week, and that has been uploaded to one of our link sites, but maybe not to the blog just yet. We're having some issues with internet access, so apologies, and once I do get back to the blog, y'all are going to be inundated with blog posts. So,
awesome.
Absolutely. I was asked to make an addendum to the 1963 episode that we forgot to mention 1963's best fact to date, the 1963 Corvette Stingray split windshield. It is the only year it was offered in the Stingray. It's the only year that the Corvette did the split windshield. So,
I love this fact. I just really, you know, you're right. That was a mistake.
Yep.
You should have done that.
Well, we didn't even deal with fashion or, you know, what was trending.
Yeah, cultural stuff. And,
right.
Yeah.
We touched on it a little bit when we touched on the political, but not so much just entertainment type.
Yeah, right. Right, and that's a great one. Corvette Stingray, baby.
Yes, and it is beautiful. Once I get to the blog, I will post a picture of it, because it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's the long, and it's got it's a small block 8 in it, I believe.
Yep. Should be, yeah.
I think
It's
a small block 8, but for that little tiny car, friggin' 8, oof. 8-cylinder? Damn
yeah,
it, man.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. We were running down the road. I was coming home from work today and saw there's a guy around here that owns a bunch of the antique cars. He rebuilds them. He puts in all factory parts. You know, he takes him sometimes years to find all of the parts that he needs because he uses the original parts. So he's got one, and what the, it's the Dodge, oh my God, I can see it in my head, and now I can't call the name of it. I want to say Dodge Viper, but that's way, way later.
Like a Charger or Challenger?
Challenger.
Yeah.
That's it. One of the older ones, and it was gorgeous. It needs to be repainted. But he's got it running. I think that's the first time I've seen it on the road since he got it like 6 years ago.
One of my favorites of all time. Love the old Challengers.
Nice. Well, if I can corner him after he gets it painted, I'll get you a couple pictures of it.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't even, I mean, he takes them to car shows and stuff, but he doesn't sell them unless he gets an offer he can't refuse.
Right.
But, so... He's got quite a nice collection. It's impressive.
Yeah.
And on the Johnny Depp note, I had a friend send me an article. The whole time during the trial that was a year ago between Johnny and Amber for the defamation, Johnny kept saying that it was not about the money. It was not about the money. He just wanted to clear his name. Well, to emphasize that, now he and Amber, she was supposed to pay him $15 million. Well, they finally agreed on a much, much smaller sum of $1 million, which she really doesn't have, but, you know, hopefully she'll come up with it.
Yeah.
Johnny, on the other hand, turned right around and donated every dime to several different charities, a couple of which Amber said she was going to donate her divorce proceedings to. Johnny already donated the money, and he's just waiting on her to pay him back.
Wow.
Yeah. So, tell me again, you people that are still, for some reason, backing Amber. Tell me again how honest and trustworthy and forthright she is. I just love a good fairy tale.
Right. I still just don't get it, you know?
I don't know. I mean, for the longest time, people thought that I was insane for backing Johnny. But
I do remember kind of the early days, you know, when people were just kind of quick to judge. Hey, like Disney did.
And if a woman says it, it has to be true, because no woman would lie about that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Some women will lie about anything. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't do that. I have made a vow for a long time that I tell the truth. Not all it's cracked up to be, believe it or not.
Well, it's still the...
Oh, it's still the best course, absolutely. Won't keep you out of trouble, but it's the best course. And so today, what are we doing today, Carrie? We hadn't really discussed it.
So, we're talking about a Who Said It, I think, right?
Yep. And we actually, the fun facts, the Hiddleston facts that we were, quote, introducing you to, that kind of got derailed this past December for some reason. We got off track on that one. So, I figured we'd combine the two, do a little of this, a little of that, and see how far we can blow your mind.
Okay, listen, yeah, I would love to have my mind blown.
I'm not going to say it.
All right,
let's see. I know we did some of the Hiddleston trivia. Let's see. We know about his mimicking skills, and I still have not gotten a response from that for almost a year now. I've been trying to get a teacher from Georgia College on the phone to discuss the link between language skills and mimicry, and I still cannot get anyone to talk to me. Maybe because they don't know.
Yeah. You know, that might take some research, like research.
Yeah, like some serious research, like say, yeah. Some I'm on vacation for a week and need something to do kind of research.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. And a big difference that I've noticed, because I've said many times that Johnny Depp is the dark side of Hiddleston, that they are two sides of the same coin. Acting for Tom was an escape. His parents divorced about the same time in his life as Johnny's parents did. He used acting as a coping mechanism, you know, stepping into someone else, becoming someone else for a little while, escaping that, the pain of his own life. That's what acting was to him, and that's why he does it so well. He learned at a very early age. Johnny, on the other hand, went a little more self-destructive with his coping skills.
Yes.
He was, and I only say this because he has said it many times, he was a cutter. A lot of his tattoos are placed where they are to hide scars.
Wow.
So... you know, my heart goes out to him. I know how difficult teenage years can be. We all do. But to have to cope with other things equally as painful on top of that, yeah, it's a difficult thing, and I'm just glad he made it through.
Yeah, me too.
The
man knows pain.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Hiddleston. What sports does he play? Or what are his two best sports? Any idea?
I'm going to go with cricket.
I don't know you're going to say that. And what?
And darts.
Cricket and darts. No, actually, he's a bit more physical than that.
Okay.
On the varsity rugby team at Cambridge University.
What? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he was. And only quit playing rugby for Cambridge when he decided to pursue his acting career instead. His other favorite sport to play, believe it or not, is table tennis, ping pong.
We have discussed that.
Okay. Did we also discuss that his co-star in the Loki series?
Sylvie?
No.
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, yes. Owen Wilson handed him his ass on the ping pong table. He said he was so impressed because, yeah, he's good. He plays quite often, and he's very good at it. Well, Owen Wilson handed him his ass.
Yes, I actually agree. Let it be known, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Owen Wilson kills it at hats.
Yep.
Fits.
You're fading in and out. What was that?
That kind of fits.
Oh, yeah. And, okay, do you know who the role of Thomas Sharp from Crimson Peak was originally slated for? And it's part... Oh, sorry. It's part of the reason that Tom got the role in the end.
I mean, there's a few good candidates. Again, I don't know. Who was it for?
All right. It was originally given to Benedict Cumberbatch.
I had a feeling it was somebody that was in the MCU.
Everybody's in the MCU.
Yeah, well, I mean, right, exactly. That's got to be a big net at this point.
Yeah.
So what happened? How come it fell through?
He had scheduling conflicts.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yup. And two of Tom's favorite people to act with, one is female, one is male, Thor. Chris Hemsworth. He's actually been quoted as saying that Chris makes him a better actor. That all of his best scenes as Loki are with Chris.
Yeah, yeah. And I do remember that. And I don't know, that's just a fantastic movie friendship. You know, real life and off, you know.
And that's the thing.
I've seen some great pictures of the two of them in between takes and, you know, what have you. They're pretty tight.
Even in between movies.
That's cool.
They still hang out. Matter of fact, even though he is not in the Love and Thunder, except for flashbacks.
Like flashback, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's nothing new in Love and Thunder with Loki in it. But he still went to Australia for the premiere to be with Chris during the premiere of Love and Thunder there in Australia while they were filming.
That's
I thought that
awesome.
Was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now
I love that they are still buds.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. The fact that he does make those lasting relationships with his co-stars is nice.
Yeah. He's a bro.
Oh, yeah. Wonder how much of that's going to continue now that he's husband and daddy and all that stuff.
Well, you know, take it from me, that does kind of change the dynamic.
It does. But hopefully he'll still be able to, because Chris has kids. Yeah, I can imagine the phone calls at 3 a.m. Chris, the child is doing this. What do I do?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yep. I could just see it. Chris going, okay, Tom, look, man, yeah. You know, my kids don't wake me up in the middle of the night anymore. Can you not?
Right. You're worse than my kids.
Exactly. Dude, I did not take you to raise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And do you know who he learned the Serenity Prayer from?
Was it Blanchett?
No.
Kate Winslet.
Nope. It is his other.
It's a female. We've talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it?
It is Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton, right.
She uses it, and I don't know because they didn't comment on whether she's. And of course, they couldn't because, you know, she herself would have to say it because of the anonymity. But, I don't think I've ever heard of Tilda having any issues with addiction. But just because we haven't heard about it doesn't mean it's not there. Yeah. But yeah, he learned it. He'd never heard it before until on the set of Only Lovers Left Alive, and he heard her say it. And now it's not uncommon to hear him quoting it to himself. Like, if he makes a mistake during filming, if he's running late, if he's having some issues, he will sit back and take a deep breath, quote, you know, say the Serenity Prayer, and move on. So, he says, I'd never heard it until she said it. She's a very wise woman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really cool.
It is. It's amazing. The fact that he picks up on the good and leaves the bad behind is so unique when it comes to the movie industry.
Yeah, you know, you don't hear the Serenity Prayer, you know, people that are in, you know, AA and NA, you know, you hear a lot of actors that, and it seems like it's mostly American actors that I can think of that would talk about it.
Right.
But yeah, you don't hear about, you know, Tilda Swinton, you know, like you said, we don't know her life.
Right.
But, you know, an English actress that, as far as I had always known, kind of had her stuff together,
right.
You know, and Tom, obviously, and it's really cool that there are people that aren't defined by addiction or alcoholism that use the Serenity Prayer. That's, you're right, it's quite unique.
Agreed that it is very nice that, that as you said, someone not defined by addiction.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because, I mean, it's actually a very nice little piece of advice. If you think about what it says, it's brilliant.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Of course, you know, I've changed it up somewhat because I know at least 10 times a day I say, Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to jail.
Yeah. Exactly.
At least 5 or 6 times a day, usually 10 or 12. Especially
yeah,
if I'm
it's
at
the
work.
Acceptance part, actually, also for real. Like, I'm not accepting this.
Yeah, sometimes you have no choice, and you can either beat your head against a wall, or you can just move on.
Yeah. I do the beat your head against the wall.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right, I've got one more trivia question for you, and then we'll go to the Who Said It.
Okay.
And maybe we'll hit on some Johnny Depp trivia, too. Johnny Depp trivia as well. What is Tom's preferred warm drink? Or let me make it simpler. Coffee or tea?
I'm going to say he's a coffee man.
Nope.
He is a tea guy?
Earl Grey with a splash of milk.
No kidding.
No kidding. Wow. He's English.
Yeah. But I don't know. You know, I think about, you know, Ian Fleming actually was like, I hate tea. And he made James Bond hate tea. Like, he was a coffee guy. And there's apparently a fair amount of English people that are like, you know what? Actually, that's true. I do prefer coffee to tea, you know.
True. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and with actors and musicians and, I don't know, maybe a lot of professionals, they'd be like, you know what, tea, it's not enough caffeine, give me coffee.
Yep, there is that. I don't know, Earl Grey is pretty strong, though, as far as the caffeine.
Yeah.
It's actually my tea of choice is Earl Grey. So.
I had a hot tea this morning.
Nice. Yeah, it actually wakes me up better than coffee does. Coffee just makes me want to curl back up and go back to bed for some reason.
Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. I had a green tea.
Oh, those are nice. And those don't have caffeine in them.
So. Yeah. Very little. I don't like, why am I drinking this? Yeah. I don't know. I was at work and I was being fancy.
Okay, I'm going to give you two quotes. One from each of the guys, and I want you to decide who said what.
Okay,
the first is, with any part you play, there's a certain amount of yourself in it. There has to be. Otherwise, it's just not acting. It's lying. That's one. The second one is... Oh, I thought I had it pulled up. Of course, I didn't. Acting is always about somehow finding a part of myself that is relevant and then turning the volume up on that particular part. So I am all of the characters I've ever played, and I am none of them all at the same time.
Okay. I'm going to go with the first quote being Tom and the second one being Johnny.
No!
Is it reversed?
Is it reversed? I figured the language itself would give it away. Johnny's much more basic.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow, when did they say these things?
I don't have the particular interviews that these quotes came from.
Yeah.
These are just quotes that are attributed to them that I found online.
They're great quotes.
Oh, there's...
Lying. That's really cool.
I have a whole bunch. Matter of fact, I think I've got over 300 quotes from each one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, how about this one? I try not to make plans. God always laughs at your plans. I'm going to keep the door open and keep the page blank. And see what gets painted on it.
That sounds like Johnny.
That is Tom.
What? All right, I am bad at this.
All right, let's see. Okay. Let's see, I've got my bets whether you're going to get this one right or wrong.
Okay.
Am I a romantic? I've seen Wuthering Heights 10 times. I'm a romantic.
Okay, that's Tom.
That is Johnny.
What the what? That's hilarious. See, Wuthering Heights 10 times.
And I figured you'd get that one wrong.
Damn.
One of my favorite quotes. What would I do for love? Anything, everything. I don't know. What would you do?
That's Johnny.
That it is.
Yep.
I've never felt particularly ambitious or driven, that's for sure. Although I like to create stuff, whether it's a little doodle or a drawing, a small painting or a movie or a piece of music, so I suppose I'm driven by that. Everything I've done has felt very natural, and it's happened because it's happened.
That'd be Johnny.
That would be Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a certain drive in me that won't allow me to do things that are easy.
That's Tom.
That is Johnny.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Nurture your own confidence and make it real. Don't pretend to be something you're not. And guys, that coming from an actor, yeah.
Gotta go with Tom.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, that is a Tom quote.
Yeah.
It's hard to find some that might stump you because the language itself, to keep it true to being an actual quote, I've got to quote it.
Yeah, yeah.
Directly. And right. So, but like the language itself, you know, it's in our nature to want to watch our human frailties played out on a huge epic canvas. Ancient societies had anthropomorphic gods, a huge pantheon expanding into centuries of dynastic drama, fathers and sons, star-crossed lovers, warring brothers, martyred heroes, tales that taught us the danger of hubris and the primacy of humility. It is the everyday stuff of everyone's life, every man's life, but it's writ large, and we love it. Think about it.
That sounds like Tommy.
Exactly. The language that's used, it's just, it totally throws everything. Some of my favorite Johnny quotes, though. We'll do it this way, because, you know, I'll tell you the quote, and you can comment on it if you have one. One of my favorites is something that, oh, God. He played Peter Pan in Hook. Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
Batty. I could call. Killed himself. Hung himself.
What?
Yeah. Robin Williams.
Oh, my God. That Hook. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It reminds me of something that he did in one of his stand-up skits. Johnny says, when your kid hits a year old, it's like hanging out with a miniature drunk. You have to hold on to them. They bump into things. They laugh. They cry. They urinate. They vomit.
Yeah, that does sound like Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. He did a whole skit about when his son had just turned like 2. That had a lot of that in there.
Wow.
Oh, here's one. And it says what I've tried to say many times, more accurately than I ever could have. I don't think anybody's necessarily ready for death. You can only hope that when it approaches, you feel like you've said what you had to say. Nobody wants to go out mid-sentence.
That's awesome. No one wants to go out mid-sentence. That's really cool.
I mean, does it not? Exactly. It's just perfect.
It really is.
Oh, here's another Johnny quote that I'm wondering how accurate it actually is. Not that he didn't say it, but that what he says his mom says. I wonder how accurate it is. He says, one of the greatest pieces of advice I've ever gotten in my life was from my mother. When I was a little kid, there was a kid who was bugging me at school, and she said, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. If the kid's bugging you, just walk away. But if he puts his hands on you, you pick up the nearest rock.
Nice.
That's the end of the quote. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can close your eyes to the things you don't want to see, but you can't close your heart to the things you don't want to feel. Truer words are never spoken.
True. Very, very true. That's a great quote.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, when asked if he was trying to send a message with the types of roles that he chose to play, because, I mean, he's been labeled as the man who got famous with flops. You know,
okay, yeah.
The man who got famous with shit movies, basically.
Yeah.
He said, if there's any message, it's ultimately that it's okay to be different. That it's good to be different. That we should question ourselves before we pass judgment on someone who looks different, behaves different, talks different, or is a different color.
Excellent. Wow.
I think everybody's nuts.
That's yep. I think everyone's nuts.
When he was asked if, you know, if he minded that people said he was weird, with some of the roles that he chose to play. He goes, no, we're all weird in our own ways. I think everybody's nuts.
Yeah, and he's right.
I do remember that interview.
Yeah.
And to continue the quote about death, he says about life, I think the thing to do is enjoy the ride while you're on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, hell, what else can we do?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I hope he gets to.
Oh, you and me both.
It gets tough for him.
It's been tough for him. I think it's about time the man got a break.
I know.
I mean, he got a huge one winning that lawsuit. That took a lot of the pressure off of him. But there's, you know, I'm sure he's still feeling the pinch from the accusations themselves. Because you can say I'm sorry, you can forgive. But one thing you cannot do when something has been said, you cannot forget. You can try, but it's going to be out there. People are going to remember it. There's nothing you can do to change that.
True.
So he's probably still feeling the pinch from just from the accusations themselves, and I'm sure there's a few diehards that still want to claim that he's wrong and that he's the bad guy. You know, but you can't please everyone, and if you try, all you're going to do is be miserable. Oh, here's a good one about the same conversation about being weird. He goes, no, I don't pretend to be Captain Weird. I just do what I do.
Right. Which means you're weird, dude.
Actually, no, he's pretty normal, because I've said this for forever, you know, don't put me in a box. Don't put me in a box. Don't label me. Don't expect me to fit in a little cubicle. It doesn't work. There's too many sides of me to do that. And for most people, that's true, I would think. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that he has a problem with. I am doing the things that are true to me. The only thing I have a problem with is being labeled. And to continue that quote, he says, they stick you with these names, those labels, rebel or whatever, whatever they like to use, because they need a label. They need a name. They need something to put a price tag on the back of.
That's very insightful.
And yes. Extremely deep.
Yes, that's quite deep. Quite deep.
Yup. And he's right. It's like, what does Jeff Goldblum say in Jurassic Park? Yeah, your scientists were so concerned with whether they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
Right.
And within moments, before they knew it, they had it. And now they got a price tag on it. They want to sell it. It's all about selling it. It's all about the money.
Yep.
And I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote, but that's essentially what he says. So, and I mean, really, when you're looking at movies or music or anything that anybody does, at the basis of it, for the most part, not saying there are not exceptions, because there are, for the most part, why do they do it?
For the money, of course.
Exactly.
Yes.
Jeff Dunham, who's the ventriloquist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's still my oldest daughter's favorite puppet is Ahmed.
Yeah.
When he went to the Middle East, though, he was not allowed to bring Ahmed. He was told not to put Ahmed on the stage. So he didn't. In his place, he brought Ahmedina.
Wow.
Yeah. Not only did he bring Ahmed out, he put him in a skirt and a wig.
Wow.
Ooh. Oh, man. But yeah. Oh, I'm an old-fashioned guy. This goes to him being such a prude. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I want to be an old man with a beer belly sitting on a porch looking at a lake or something.
That, what?
Yep.
That's hilarious. What? Okay. That's easy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to live that long first.
Sure.
That part is not
easy. Okay, that's the hard part. Right.
Okay, do you think that Johnny enjoys being famous? Or do you think maybe not so much?
Maybe not so much.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's been quoted as saying, I'm shy, I'm paranoid, whatever words you want. Whatever words you want to use. I hate fame. I've done everything I can to avoid it.
Yeah. You know, he's not just a recluse. He hates fame. That's the thing. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily reclusive. He just hates fame, you know, well, and doesn't want to have people fucking with him.
And, you know, everybody says, oh, I'd love to be famous. I'd love to be famous. All right.
No.
Would you like to have somebody, have a mob come to you when you're at the grocery store picking up food for your kid or at the convenience store pumping gas or getting a pack of smokes? I mean, if you could not step out of your house without people being on the phone, calling other people, going, he's here, he's here, he's here.
Yes, exactly. No.
That would drive me insane.
I wonder how people, you know, adapt to that. There's some people that are just like, well, Angelina Jolie, I think, you know, you have people like that, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like she does, in fact, enjoy and shoots for the fame, the recognition. And that
oh, absolutely. And there are some people that do. There are some people that eat that up like clotted cream. They love it. You know,
Madonna, I think, is infamous for it. Like, she's absolutely there for the fame.
Oh, yeah. And, hey, more power to her. If she can deal with it, great. But, you know, I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, if I'm going to, you know, have a little party of one by myself one time, I don't want to wonder if there's somebody outside my window with a telescopic lens taking pictures. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's just, yeah. No, I don't think I could handle fame. I could handle my name being famous as long as my image was not associated with it.
Yeah. You know, I do know that there are, like, voice actors that love that, you know, you can't recognize them when they're out, but they're super, super famous, you know.
Yeah, but they really have to watch their tone. And, you know, because if they, you know, if they manage to hit a couple of words, people like me that are, that have perfect pitch, that's how I recognize a lot of the actors, like on Pirates of the Caribbean, the one who played Davy Jones, Bill Nye's.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, I told my sister, hey, that's the guy that played in Underworld. She said, no, it's not.
Yeah,
I said,
right.
Yeah, it is. I said, listen to his voice. It's the same guy. She goes, no, it's not. Well, she looked it up, and of course I was right. But that the tonality does it.
Yes.
So they would definitely have to, I would think they would have to watch what they said and how they spoke in order for someone not to recognize them. Or to at least recognize the voice.
Yes.
Okay, here's a bit of a trivia question.
Okay.
Johnny or Tom? Who used to steal their mom's clothes?
Johnny.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
At 13, I was wearing plain t-shirts. Then I used to steal my mom's clothing. She had all these crushed velvet shirts with French cut sleeves and like seersucker bell bottoms.
Oh my God. That makes sense, actually. That tracks. That tracks.
Oh yeah, I had to clarify.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're stuck with bell bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's like literally 1970.
Oh, yeah. Okay, is there any year in your past, like a specific year, that you would be just like, oh, hell no, there's nothing you could do to make me go through that again?
Actually, no.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Now that I think about it, I can pick out at least one good thing that happened.
A good thing.
For okay. At least every year that I remember, I can pick out. There's even my teenage years when I was constantly in trouble because I was constantly fucking up and I was constantly doing things I wasn't supposed to. You know, even those years, I think, yeah, you know, I could be convinced to relive those years if I had to. Yeah. Johnny says, there is nothing on earth that could ever make me want to relive certain years of my life when I was young.
Wow. Wow.
When Johnny was younger, they tested him for Tourette's.
Is that right?
And looking at this, it's possible he's on the spectrum. Yeah, I made odd noises. I made odd noises as a child. I just did weird things, like turn the light off twice. Yeah. Turn it off, back on, and then off again.
Yeah.
That's an autistic trait.
Yeah.
I'm always more for the Indian than the cowboy. Always.
Sure. Yep, that's a great quote. Totally feel you, Johnny.
Oh yeah. Oh, and one of the charities that he donated to was give me just a second. It was one of the Indian reservations. Probably the one that he was adopted into.
It was like the Lakota or
2 seconds. Let's see. All right, there we go. The Maker Film Foundation was one. The organization is called Red Feather. The donation will help address the housing for the Native American community in okay, it doesn't say where. And he also donated to the Amazonia Fund Alliance to preserve the Amazonian ecosystem.
Nice.
Okay. Tetiaroa. It's a it's a charity that was started by Marlon Brando to support indigenous voices across the Pacific, advance ocean-based solutions to climate change. Yeah. So, yeah, the man donates more than, and I'm surprised he allowed the charities to speak out, but I guess he probably wanted to make it clear that he did donate like he said he would.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, the charities are under a gag order. He doesn't want people saying, oh, that Johnny's a great guy. Did you hear he donated X amount to blah, blah, blah?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, anonymous donations, I can... Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, but
you're not doing it for the applause.
Right. But when you're donating upwards of $200,000, $300,000 at a pop, it's kind of hard to stay anonymous.
Sure. And, you know, yeah, and your tax stuff comes out, you know, right.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, now I love this quote, and I so totally see it. Edward Scissorhands was such a great character because he was so innocent. He was essentially a robot with human feeling. People don't really look at it because they don't want to. But if you look at the way he was created and the fact that he doesn't age, and he was a mechanical man. He's a robot with human feeling.
Yeah.
Johnny says, Edward Scissorhands was tough to let go of because I found real safety in allowing myself to be that open, that honest, to explore purity. It was a hard one to walk away from.
Wow, that's a really great quote.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, right on, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Yup. And let's see, Tom has a few really good ones, too. Make love, not war, unless you're Loki, in which case, do what you want. Oh, when he went, he spent a year with UNICEF in third world countries.
I do remember us talking about that. That's right.
Right. When asked about the experience, Tom says, I feel as though the cardboard box of my own reality has been flattened and blown open. Now I can see the edge of the world.
Wow, that's cool.
And then
their language is different.
Right. Language is one of my things. I don't excel at foreign language. It's not one of my strong suits. However, I can understand most foreign language because I studied Latin, and most of our languages nowadays are based in Latin.
Yeah.
So to hear it, I can piece out what they're saying, but I can't speak it and I can't write it.
Right. So. No. But yeah, right. That is our basis. Right.
But yeah, that's one thing I don't even know if they offer Latin anymore in like high school. I know it's something have to take if you want a job in the medical profession, then Latin is a must, but I don't know that they offer it in high school anymore. That's where I started learning Latin, was in high school.
Yeah, my daughter actually, they did a little Latin.
Nice.
But that was a religious high school.
Gotcha.
Because it was a religious thing, right?
Okay. I would recommend, though, anybody who has the chance to spend a little time, studying up on some language, Latin would be the one. Because you can take that and angle it toward any of the spoken languages nowadays, and it works. So.
Totally. Totally.
Okay. Who do you think Tom Hiddleston's favorite Batman is?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's a Keaton guy.
No. I was surprised as well. But you got to remember his age, too.
Is it Adam West?
It is not.
Who is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Batman. Joker.
Oh.
I just
favorite Joker.
Thought about it. Yeah, who's his favorite Joker?
Yeah, I got to go with Heath Ledger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger's performance in The Dark Knight quite simply changed the game. He raised the bar, not just for actors in superhero films, but for young actors everywhere. For me, his performance was dark, anarchic, dizzying, free, and totally, thrillingly dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. He was my second favorite Joker.
Who's your first? Don't make me come to Alabama and kill you.
I kind of gotta go with Jack.
Absolutely.
I gotta go with Jack.
I'm right there with you.
I appreciate Heath Ledger, but I think that Joaquin Phoenix was.
Oh, he was so creepy.
Better.
Oh, he was so creepy.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see the new Joker movie. You know, it's all a musical, and I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, okay, how? I'm sorry, if you get Joker out there singing and tap dancing, I'm leaving.
Well, and, you know, Lady Gaga's in it, but...
Really?
Yeah, she's Harley Quinn. And,
I don't...
And it's a musical because he's insane.
Oh, okay. Well, and see, so I don't own a TV, so...
Yeah, you're looking at it from his perspective, and now life's a musical.
Ah, got you. Well, I can see that, actually.
Yeah, and that's why I'm really intrigued. I mean, they really better pull this off.
All right. What... How do I put this? There is one friend slash in the business that Thomas said has a, quote, life-changing effect. Any and idea? And he also credits this person as giving him his break.
Because I was going to say Hemsworth.
Nope.
Is it?
No. Go ahead. Not Hemsworth, though. Well, we've mentioned him a couple of times already.
John Favreau.
Keith Branagh.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ken Branagh. Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
He says, Ken has a life-changing effect. He was able to say to the executives, trust me on this. You can trust Tom, and he will deliver. It was massive, and it's completely changed the course of what is available to me to do. Ken gave me my break.
Huh. I wonder, so what work are we talking about where he did that?
I know Ken did Crimson... Didn't he do Crimson Peak? You're going to make me look it up.
Yeah, just curious.
Let's see.
It wasn't a Marvel movie. Was it? Branagh did. Yeah, wait a minute. Kenneth Branagh did one of the Thor movies, didn't he?
Do not know. We're about to find out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. All right. Oh, my God, that's him? Sorry, I just saw the picture. Okay.
I knew he was one of the fake actors or whatever in one of the Thor movies.
He was the rock guy.
He was the rock guy?
Yeah. If I remember correctly. What? Let's see. Okay, he also did the Henry series, the Henry the Fourth, Henry the Fifth, Henry the Eighth. Yeah, and Tom was in two of those. He did Thor, the original Thor.
Yeah,
that's probably the one that he's talking about right there.
Yeah. Okay.
And one more connection here. He also did Murder on the Orient Express. That Johnny Depp was the bad guy.
That. Yeah. I need to go back and watch that.
And I really, watched really it. Do. I was... I loved the movie. I thought it was brilliant. But the ease with which Johnny plays this character is kind of like Barbarians. Let's see, what is it? Waiting for Barbarians. I couldn't watch that one. Because the ease with which he plays this horrible person and the ease with which he discusses some of the insanely ridiculous things that he's done to other people. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch Johnny. Yeah. I couldn't watch Johnny do that.
Really? Wow. Even after playing Whitey.
Oh, Whitey ain't shit on these characters.
Wow.
Um, I mean, the Murder on the Orient Express, they, I mean, he kills a child.
Yeah.
In Waiting for Barbarians, he tortures I don't want to say autistic, but I think that's a child, a teenager, who's a little mentally off, and sits there and tortures this kid in front of the uncle to learn, to get information from the uncle that the uncle doesn't have.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. I mean, I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry, but no, I just couldn't.
You know, there is a couple of roles that Keanu Reeves has done where he is just an awful person. I'm like, I can't.
Really? Yeah. What, yeah. Like, what's one that he's a bad guy?
There was a movie, and it's a really, really great movie. It's kind of an artsy movie, but, I mean, you got to be into it. But there was a movie called The Neon Demon.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
And it was, I think it's Elle Fanning. It's not Dakota, but Elle Fanning.
Okay.
It was a movie with her, and it had to do with models in Los Angeles, and, you know, he played the manager of an apartment complex that the main character lived in, and he was just an awful, awful fucking person.
Yeah, it would be hard to...
cheesy and just...
It would be really hard to watch Keanu Reeves portray someone like that. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, he pulled it off. It was like you were an awful person.
Oh, but, man. But see, that's the earmark of a damn good actor, is that they can sell you whatever part they're playing.
Sure, absolutely.
And I mean, you know, just, you know, it's just one of those things. And did you know that your brain does not distinguish between characters you see on a movie screen and people you meet in real life?
You know, I didn't know that that was official, but yeah.
Yes. It is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Your brain cannot distinguish between the two. When you, like, there's a series, and I won't mention the name because they did a freaking miniseries on it and it sucked. But there's a series of 14 books that a couple of the main characters die in the last book. You know, and there's no more story. Once the last book is done, there's nowhere possible to create another story. But you still want somebody to do so, just so you can find out how this one's marriage went. Did that one have any kids? What happened over here? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You want to know. And it's because you feel like throughout the series, you've gotten to know these people. These characters.
And you want
to
know.
And
yeah.
they become real to you. Not in the, you know, you're going to go down the street and say hi to them. But no. In a way, your brain does not
feel them.
Accept that they are not real.
Yeah.
You know, they're just as real to your brain as the next door neighbor. So.
Yeah.
It's also why celebrities have such a hard time. Because people that do, like some of the stuff we do, that do the podcasts and that are super fans or whatever, you know, we feel like we know these guys because we have done the research. We've read every article. We've seen every movie. We've, you know, watched every bit of information we can get. And we feel like we know them. Our brain does not distinguish the fact that we've never met them. That doesn't even enter in to our brain's equations. So, you know, people, oh, I feel like I know them. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yep. Exactly.
That is your brain telling you. Oh, yeah. Another Johnny quote. I just flipped over on my screen and it popped up. Johnny's biggest wish. Simplicity. Quote, simplicity, That's what I want. It's been a rare commodity for me for a number of years, but I enjoy being able to hang out with my girl, read the newspaper, sit back and start to read a book by someone I admire, like Lawrence Krauss or Christopher Hitchens, and that's it. Simplicity, where the game of Hollywood doesn't exist.
Yeah, those days.
Yeah, good luck, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm sure he was then. Hang out with my girl and read the paper.
Oh, and you know
he's... That does sound wonderful. That's kind of a treat. Yeah, that's what you want.
Oh, yeah. You know he is a painter as well.
Yeah.
He's actually quite recently auctioned off several of his own works at one of the New York auction houses. And talking about that, he says, what I love to do is paint people's faces, you know, their eyes. Because you want to find that emotion, see what's going on, check their eyes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yep, and regardless of his extracurricular activities, shall we say, the man has great insight when it comes to people in general.
Yeah, in the human condition.
He studies it just like I do. He's said it several times. That, you know, the human nature is fascinating to him. And the most part of what's fascinating is that he doesn't understand most of it. And that's me as well. You know, I watch, I observe, I pay attention, because the things that people do and say to each other really don't make a whole lot of sense to me for the most part. So hopefully, you know, the more I observe, the more I pay attention, the more I take in, maybe I can start making sense of it. However, it may not make sense to me, but I am pretty accurate in predicting certain things. So,
yeah.
I have a friend that told my mother. Now, my mother is the one who's I love her to death, but sometimes she's harder on me than anybody else. But he told my mother, he's like, you know your daughter's always right? She goes, what? He goes, yeah, she's always right. She pays attention to things you don't think she's paying attention to. She notices things you'd rather she didn't. And she's always right. My mom went, okay. Thought it was kind of funny. She looked at me and I just kind of shrugged my shoulders. Oh, I don't know what he's talking about.
Are we getting on an hour?
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we are already over an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, next week, you pick this time.
You know what? That's really cool. Thank you.
Oh.
Let me get back with you in 24 hours. I am going to, like, seriously ruminate on this.
Okay, do that. But I do have one thing I want to say before we go cut off. I did the research on the number of still paintings per movie for the old hand-drawn animated movies like Disney, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I did the research. I was so off. Wow, was I off. I was really off, and I feel really bad about it, but yeah, I was really off. Traditional animated movies run at 24 frames a second of screen time. That means that everything would be drawn 24 times per second.
Yeah.
1,440 frames per minute and 86,400 frames per hour of screen time.
Nuts.
So, guys, I wanted to make that comment just as quickly as I could to say, yeah, my estimate was way off. But, yeah, so you're talking some major, major, major time and effort into some of these old animated movies.
Super big time.
Absolutely. Now, what we haven't been doing recently, which we need to do today, is give our contact information. We've been so caught up in time, we have not done that. So, Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners, all lowercase, no punctuation, no spaces, at yahoo.com is our email. Then we have our dedicated phone line. That one is 2 seconds. Apologies. That is 949-373-5476. That's our dedicated phone line. Call, leave us a message. If we don't answer, let us know when the best time is to call you back and what time zone you're in, and we'll do so. If you want to speak to a specific person, Carrie, me, or Barry, just let us know. We'll make sure the message gets to the right one. And Carrie, you have your own personal contact information?
Yeah, you know, I'm at Mako, M-A-K-O 3303 at hotmail.com. I have Hotmail because I'm cool and also old. And you can also find me on PlayStation Network at Traveler 2300, no spaces.
One L or two?
Two.
Two L's. Got it.
Two L's.
All right, guys, we'd love to hear from you. We will continue, and hopefully Carrie will come up with something good for us next week. Anyway, yeah. Until then, if you can't be good at it.
Yeah.
You going to give your tag?
My little piece of love.
Love and peace, guys. We'll check you next
Take
time.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.